به وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, Allah that has gathered us again on the day of Jumu'ah. And I got a little delayed. There was an accident on the freeway. We went to fetch a brother who had arrived from Hajj. Alhamdulillah. And I'm sure there are many, many here who have some family members or they know someone who has arrived from this blessed journey of Hajj. And we should try and take advantage of meeting them and seeking du'as from them. The Haji's du'as are accepted, especially when he comes back. He or she comes back, so we should take this opportunity to request their du'as also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this verse of the Quran Sharif, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, that we have made you an ummah of moderation. We have made you an ummah of balance, an ummah of a middle road, an ummah of moderation, a people of moderation. So what does this mean? And it is a sifat of this deen of Islam, an attribute of this deen of Islam, that we are a moderate religion, a balanced religion, a moderate religion, a religion that shows us the middle path in everything that we do. So if we start at the top and we look at, for example, belief, we look at belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or belief in a God, for example. So you'll find that there are faiths in the world that believe that they are in one extreme, that they deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. They deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. That's one extreme. Atheism, Scientology, people have developed faiths where they deny the existence of God completely. And then there is the other extreme that they have said not only is there one God, but there's many gods. And we have a God of the ocean and a God of the sun and a God of the moon. Allah ta'ala protect us. But Islam came and Islam taught us that there is one God, one supreme being. That all the heavens and the earth, what we can see before us, cannot come about by accident. If someone had to tell us that a tree and, you know, an oil tanker collided with a tree, and maybe some rocks or stones, and out from there came a Mercedes-Benz from the collision. Meaning, there was no Mercedes-Benz, there was no car there. But because an oil tanker knocked through the tree and a rock fell on it, a perfect vehicle, like a Mercedes-Benz, popped out from there, was the result of that accident. Will we accept that? We won't accept that. That just by one accident, few things hit each other, and the result of that is that one smart looking with specific headlights in a certain space, in a certain place, steering wheel in a certain place, certain colored lights in the back, certain colored lights in the front, the setup of the tires also in a certain way. Sometimes the vehicle is four-wheel drive, two-wheel drive, all these specifics which help us to negotiate different territories in the world using a vehicle. So can some vehicle like that come about by accident? Can't come about by accident. Somebody designed it. Somebody thought about it. They applied their mind that this is what must be the color of the reverse lights, or this is the color of the brake lights, so it will strike in a person's eye and the person will know they must brake. This is where the headlamps must go. What type these headlamps must be? It must move as the car is turning left and right. Must have a high beam and a low beam. So if we look at the whole world and its creation, heavens and the earth, the trees, the sun, the moon, the oceans, every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just about a week ago, someone, I was reading somewhere about these birds, kingfisher birds, that from, in while they are in flight in the air, they look and they can see a fish that is swimming in the ocean. And the bird makes a dive. It has a certain aerodynamic position that it takes by which it can swoop down towards the water in a very fast pace and cut through the water also. So accurately that the coordinates of that fish that it located while it was in the sky, it accurately catches that fish between its beak and then makes a U-turn contrary to its direction that it entered the water in, and it flies back out with the fish in its mouth. Subhanallah. Can all of this happen by accident? No, it can't. So we are Ummatul Wasata, and we were explaining that some people believe that there is no God altogether. Some people believe that there is many gods. Imagine now if there were many gods trying to run the earth. Someone will say, I brought the sun for you, so you must worship me now. The one says, I brought the water for you, so you also must worship me at the same time. Then they will have some problem. Our loyalty is all to one Allah. You can see that there is one creator. There is one signature of one person in all the creation. And all the creation is working together harmoniously. If one of the gods felt that, I'm not being worshipped enough, I won't provide you all with the sun. So how will the plants grow? Then how will the god of the plants get his plants to grow? Doesn't work like that. There's one God. The God of the creator of the heavens and the earth. Everything is working systematically with each other. Sometimes we are talking about a sun that will rise. 1 year from now, we can tell exactly this is the time the sun will rise in Durban next year on this date. Such a massive creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recently, there was a few explosions on the surface of the sun. And these explosions brought about the mist, like you can say, from this explosion. The excess gas brought about these different colors that people saw in the sky in different parts of the world. Massive creation of Allah Ta'ala is the sun. And it moves, and it rises and sets, and its movement, the earth's movement around the sun, to the second, that people can predict from now till next year exactly where we're going to be. Where will the sun rise in this country, in that place? 100%. This is nothing but the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we take the next thing with regards to beliefs, the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. So there are those that said that there were no prophets that came to us. They went to that extreme. Or they took the route of degrading them and attributing sins to them and saying that these people are sinful people. They went to that extreme. And there are others that took the prophets and made them into gods. And they said, this is a prophet, but he's also a god. He's the son of God. So we must worship him. Islam came Ummatul Wasata, the religion of moderation. Islam teaches us that we will respect and revere these prophets, but we will not make them into an Allah. Middle road. Then if you take this worldly life and the hereafter, there are those that say, we just came here, make the best of it. You live once. This is your life, that's it, finished. After that, enjoy it as much as you want to enjoy it, there's nothing after this. And others who went to the extreme and said, no, we only came, the main life is the year after, and we only need to worry about that. And Islam came and said, no, there's a middle road. This worldly life also has a role, and the year after has a role. You have to do certain things in this world also, to attain the year after. There's a need for this world, and there's a need for the world of the next also. Ummatul Wasata. This is a very important thing. Why are we talking about this moderation? In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now that we were in the days of Hajj, there was a very famous incident. So the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, they went to pelt the Jamarat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked one of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu, that collect some stones for me, for pelting the Jamarat. So the Sahabi brought big boulders, big stones like this, big boulders, like a hand-sized one. He brought seven of those boulders and he brought it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I must understand, this is the first time that they are carrying out these rites. So in his mind, we're going to pelt the shaitan. We must give him a good hiding. We must get a big boulder. You know, if I can carry one on the top of my head also and fling it, I'll be doing a better job. Right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took those stones and he discarded it. He said, I want these type of stones. And he looked to the ground and he picked up small pea-sized stones. And he chose seven of them. Right? So what was this for? And what did the ulama teach us from this incident? Is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was showing us the moderation in this ummah. That we will need to pelt the shaitan, but this is a symbolic pelting. It's a symbolic pelting. Everything in deen has its place. It has its proportion. We need to find out what is the correct way of doing it. What is excess, we need to stay away from it. And also to forego certain things that are part of Islam that are important, this is also unacceptable. One alim nicely mentioned, he said that nowadays the girl says, I want to get married to a moderate man, you know, moderate guy. So he must be so lax that he only reads one salah, or so heavy that he reads five salah, he must be moderate, must read about three salah for the day. That's not moderate in Islam. That's a wrong understanding of moderate. Five daily salah is a minimum requirement. Minimum requirement. Moderation means in those things where Islam has prescribed something and we take it to another degree. We take it to excess. If we don't know, we have to ask the ulama to teach us. Ilm is what teaches a person what is moderation in Islam. So anyway, I was explaining. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, via this action, he showed us that just going into excess in anything is not necessarily praiseworthy. We need to adopt moderation because we are an ummah of moderation. We are also an ummah that does not just believe in blind faith, or we just believe in intellectual faith. That means we're not just asked that we must believe in everything without knowing its true reality, just blindly follow what we are told. We're not only asked that. There's a place for that. And we are also not only told that I will believe in something if I understand it only. This is a very big problem nowadays. A lot of youngsters, they come, they say, but you know, I don't understand this. So now they base whether they're going to believe something, whether they can understand it or not. We must remember that our intelligence is limited. Our intelligence is limited. There are things that Allah Ta'ala wanted us to ponder over. That's why the Quran Sharif is repeat, Afala tafakkarun, Afala ta'alamun. Do you not understand? Do you not ponder? What is the reason for these verses that we were supposed to ponder over the creations of the heavens and the earth? There are things that we need to think about and bring an iman upon it, because we pondered over it. It makes sense to us that this is the way that we should be following. This is the religion that we should be adopting. And there are certain things, for example, that we don't need a reason or we don't have to understand it to follow it. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that this is such and such an action, whether we understand it or not, but it is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore you are not allowed to do it. You are not permitted to do it. So our faith in Islam is between both. Not just blind following, where we just follow anything and everything without verifying, checking out, trying to understand it. And neither is it that we are only going to accept something and follow something if we understand it. Islam is in the middle road. You need a bit of both. You need a bit of both. You first must recognize the person that you are following intellectually. That who is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. That some things the Rasul of Allah will order you and you won't be able to understand it, but you know that he is Al-Amin, As-Sadiq. He is the truthful one. He is the one that was selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore I'm going to follow it. I'm going to continue with it. Ummatul Wasata. Another example is that the cross between this worldly life and the hereafter. Worldly desires. So there are some faiths or some ideologies that tell you that this world is the only place that you must worry about. So you must fulfill your desires to your heart's content. Whatever you want to do in the world is up to you. If it's okay for you, don't let anybody stop you. Your will is your right. Those are the slogans that we hear all the time. And then you get those people that say that no, you must forgo this worldly life completely. You must have nothing to do with it. Even basics in life, food and drink, etc., you must kick it. You must live a life of a person who has denounced the world completely. Has nothing to do with it. So both these are extremes. Islam teaches us a middle road. A middle road. How we know? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, قُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. That eat that which I have sustained you with. From the pure things which I have sustained you with. There's not one pure thing. People ask, but hey, we can't eat pork, we can't eat, you know, predatory animals, these certain things that are not halal, we can't drink alcohol. But we don't focus on all the halal things that we can eat. How many? The halal things, they outweigh the haram things. The halal things, they outweigh the haram things. We should be focusing on that. Allah Ta'ala is saying to us in the Quran, eat from so many things that I have made pure for you. Whether it's vegetables, whether it's animals, whether it's fruits, milks of different animals. So many things, fish in the ocean, so many things are halal. But at other times Allah Ta'ala says, tilka hududullah. That these are the boundaries of Allah Ta'ala. That there are some things that have boundaries. You're not free to just do whatever you want in this worldly life. There are boundaries. There are things that you can't go towards. That you're supposed to stay away from. So this life is in between. In between. Middle road. We're not just free that we just fulfill our desires. Then what makes us different between us and the animals then? The animals do whatever they want. No laws they got to follow. They eat from here, eat from there. Nobody stops them. And we're not saying that life is so rigid that now there's nothing for you to do. Nothing. You should. This worldly life, you must forgo it completely. Islam is not asking us of that also. Islam is asking us to take a moderate path. That this life has got both. There are things that Allah Ta'ala wants you to enjoy. Even though this is not the maqsad of your life. Even though Jannat is your objective. But you can enjoy certain things in this world. And there are also boundaries also. There are boundaries also. The body and the soul. We've got sectors of the society, there's industries that are built on just replenishing the body. Think about it, supplements, all types of things that are just focused on the body. One youngster told me the other day, you know, youngsters are following all these things on social media, etc. Apparently there's one person who he just lives on supplements. He's got something like 30 supplements that he takes. He doesn't eat any food, normal food. He lives on supplements only. He sleeps so many hours of the day. I don't know how he earns, but he sleeps so many hours of the day, beauty sleep, and so many hours in the sunlight, so many hours in the dark, just to, and he says he's about 41 years old, but he's got a body of a 27 year old, all these type of things. You know, so people are just focused on their body, that the body is everything. I must look after this body to perfection. And that is one extreme. And the other extreme is that there's no need for this body whatsoever. The soul is only important. I mean, just focus on spirituality. whatever happens with this body, whether I take care of it, don't take care of it, I don't want to exercise, I don't want to eat the right foods, nothing. This body is just a spiritual, I mean, this body is about my soul. So Islam doesn't teach us that. Islam is the middle road. That this body is also important, it's the vehicle to carry the soul. Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to look after this body. And at the same time, just like how you give so much of attention to your body, you eat the right foods, you exercise, you're doing all these things, you're beautifying the body. What about beautifying the soul? What about me and you reciting Quran Sharif, reciting Dhikrullah, doing those actions that will bring light into the soul? This is a balanced life. A balanced life between looking after the body and looking after the soul. We will terminate here. The importance of mentioning or drawing these comparisons is for us to understand that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with a very balanced religion. We need to be a good Muslim, we have to have this moderation in us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu, few Sahaba, if I'm not mistaken, three, they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they mentioned different things. One said that he plans to fast every day. Another one said that he doesn't intend to marry at all. The other one said that he will stay up at night in prayer and every night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade them from this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that I marry, so you should marry. I sleep some nights and I stay awake some nights. I fast one day and I eat one day. This is the moderation. To be a good Muslim, we need to bring in this moderation into our lives. And we need to find out if we feel that maybe this balance of moderation in our life is being lost. We need to consult. We need to find out. We need to speak to people of knowledge and help them to get this realignment of moderation in our life. Allah Ta'ala grant me tawfiq first and grant you tawfiq and the entire ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.